listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Bonjour, mes amis. This is Ed McGrogan here with the first Tennis in 10 podcast. During the 2017 French Open, we did this before at last year's U.S. Open, a 10-minute rundown of the day's play, hopefully useful for your train ride, car ride, walk to work, walk downstairs to your home office, whatever you need to do to keep it going. So let's not waste any time, obviously, and look back on a day one that is typically at the, you know, the French is the only slam that starts on a Sunday. And typically this day is really drama-free, not many big names typically scheduled. That's changed a little bit over the years. I think there's been some resistance to having a day that seems more than anything like a money grab just to get an extra session in. And, like I said, over the years, I think it's gotten a little bit better. Today was one of the days where I think it was probably one of the most notable Sunday we've had at Roland Garros, first Sunday so far. Two reasons for that. You have Petra Kvitova, who comes back after not having played since the home invasion, which left her injured severely, her left hand. She is a lefty, as many of you know. And she comes back, first match back since then, and wins. It's almost as if there is not a lot you can almost add. Is that a lot you can add to just the fact that the result was, you know, really irrespective of just the achievement of her playing. It was really uncertain up until the draw actually was made on Sunday that if we were even going to see Kvitova play. Instead, she goes out and defeats Julia Bozorup, number 85 in the world, 3-2, on a match that, you know, started this event in as feel good a fashion as you can. And you know, Kvitova was, you know, we saw that on the court with her. You know, the emotions obviously came out there. You saw it when she talked to press and to Tennis Channel afterwards. That this is obviously one of the biggest one of the biggest wins I think she's had. And afterwards in press, or it was, you know, she has said that, you know, the ends of her extremities or fingers there are still not responding or working, as she put it, I believe. And her and her doctors agree that if it ever gotten to a point where it seemed like it was getting detrimental, that she would pull the plug on this. But it's great to see that she was, you know, able to come back in such a beautiful way. You know, it was a lovely way to start the event. And it's in pretty great contrast to the match that followed, and that was top seed Angelique Kerber. I'm trying to remember really a number one seed going down the first round that doesn't seem like it's that big of an upset. I think that's just really the way that Kerber's season has gone. I think that kind of says it all when you looked at it from that context there. It's, you know, even in my expert picks for, you know, my part of that submission for the women's event at Roland Garros here, I put Kerber as the bust pick. I just did not see any way that, let alone she would make her seed and end up in the final. I thought the second week would be honestly a stretch considering how poorly she's played on clay. And she had the proverbial, you know, unseeded, you know, and looming sort of player in Ekaterina Makarova, who has done this before at Grand Slam events. And, you know, for Kerber to go down 2-2, you know, so disappointing on its own right there. When you kind of look at how it transpired, it's even more difficult to stomach. She really only, I thought the first sign of life in this match didn't even come until the second set, and she was down 3-love with breaking back at that point. Second set was filled with breaks. I think there was only about two or three holds at the most. I think it's actually just two. And you know, one of the reasons, of course, you have to give credit to Makarova for kind of putting Kerber in difficult positions where, you know, she has been made to doubt herself all year and to feel this pressure of holding this number one ranking. It has not suited her well, clearly. When you had Serena Williams in there last year, I think that freed up Angie a lot to know almost that, you know, sort of subconsciously that Serena is still out there. And this, it was kind of really that fairy tale run that ended up lasting beyond the Australian Open. Rarely does it last so long as it does for Kerber, who made the Wimbledon final and won the U.S. Open last year. But today, I mean, we're seeing really Kerber kind of at the bottoming out point of a world number one, which is so strange to say, but here we are with it. You know, she is typically, you know, her game is counterpunching. We've known that, playing the angles. But I thought she actually really went for too much in a way against Makarova and, you know, completely to her detriment. It was, you know, and unable to convert some pretty significant break chances later on too as well. So obviously a draw that was wide open just continues to, you know, to the chasm keeps, you know, growing recently. 19 of the last 21 Grand Slam tournament winners are out before the first Monday. You only have Muguruza and Kvitova left of major winners since 2012. Certainly that's the big two stories of the day. I'm kind of want to run down some scores here that we see. You know, Grigor Dimitrov is straight setter over Stefan Robert. You have two, you know, one of the other Chatrier matches was an all-French matchup, five-setter between Luca Puy and Julien Beneteau. Puy wins 6-4 in the fifth on a really sort of that, you know, that it, you think about the opening Sunday as well. I think one reason we have to always remember is that from a U.S. perspective, you're going to see players on get top billing on big courts that you would never see at other slams as well. And that's just, you know, that's how it goes for every slam. Aussies in Australia, you know, British at Wimbledon, and of course the Americans at the Open. We'll keep going down. Kuznetsova 7-5, 6-4 over Mikhail. Dominic Thiem over Bernard Tomic 4-0-2. Just a whitewashing there. And speaking of bottoming out, I mean, that is subpar from Mr. Bernard Tomic there. As good as Thiem is on clay and as good as he's been playing, that's a horrific score line for Bernard, especially taking the bagel in the second set. Venus Williams, 6-4, 7-6. She advances as well as Ivo Karlovic, fellow 30-something in straights as well. Sabolkova wins 2-1. And we keep going and working around here. One score early in the day I thought was really one of the better early matches, Monica Puig over Roberta Vinci, 6-3, 3-6, 6-2. The only match not to be completed today was Steve Johnson. His match, and I just want to make sure I get the score correctly here, and him in action against Yuji Suguda. And they are right now in a fourth set. Johnson won the first two, Suguda third set victory, and leads 4-2 in the fourth as well. That'll be one to watch tomorrow to keep, you know, to really keep an eye on for an possible early upset there. Madison Brengel over Julia Gerges, 13-11 in the third set. Great stat also. The last player to beat Serena Williams is Madison Brengel. Other scores, Kushkin, Baczynski, Shelby Rogers, quarterfinalist last year, all advanced. Bellucci as well over Lajovic in four sets. Tomorrow, what you want to watch day two, as I kind of frame it, you know, first and 10, Zverev and Nadal, who were masterful in the clay court season, their title quest begins. Zverev going for his first major of any sort, and Rafa going for his 10th French Open title. And I think it's an appropriate way to end the Tennis in 10 podcast, looking ahead to Rafa's 10th at Roland Garros. Talk to you tomorrow.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.